Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back for our second hour of Catholic Answers Live. You hear that applause, that's because we are in the spiritual and physical home of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, where we're enjoying the hospitality of EWTN during the National Catholic Radio Conference, where we have met so many really cool people. And for me, I just met in person someone who I have known via radio and video on occasion, Father Wade Menezes, our guest this hour. Hi, Father.
Hi, Si. Good to be here.
Very good.
Welcome to Sweet Home, Alabama.
I know. I like Sweet Home, Alabama. And Father Wade is a Father of Mercy. They are missionary preachers. They are itinerant preachers. They do parish missions, parish retreats.
Conferences, devotions, throughout the United States, Canada, and Australia primarily.
And you can find them at fathersofmercy.com. Today we're going to talk about faithfulness to daily duty.
Amen.
Father, what do you mean by faithfulness to daily duty?
In a nutshell, Si, I mean becoming holy right where one is. One of my favorite quotes from St. Catherine of Siena, one of the great female doctors of the church, one of the 36 doctors, she says, "If you are what you should be, you will set the world ablaze." And St. Jose Maria Escriba, the founder of Opus Dei, says, God wants to make you a saint right there where you are. So what's this all mean? Whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, sister, doctor, farmer, lawyer, homeschooling mother of eight, a divorced dad of four striving to live a chaste life, retired grandparent, working grandparent, how about a recently widowed grandparent, university student, high school student, middle school student, even the elementary school student who's attained the age of reason around age 7 or age 8, this is why Holy Mother Church gives the first two sacraments, first confession, first Holy Communion, because they've entered the age of reason, they're able to make moral choices. If one is the age of reason or older, they are called to be faithful to their daily duty, whatever those duties are. You know, we've all heard the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places or all the right places. Looking for holiness in all the wrong places, when in reality, you're called to become holy where you are. You know, and that's a big part of it. One of my favorite quotes from St. Teresa of Avila is, the great Carmelite mystic, "May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be."
May you
trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. So that's what I mean by faithfulness to daily duty.
It's not just a matter of me then, checking off things on a list. When you talk about it, you're talking about something much grander than that.
I am. I'm talking about coalescing your God-given temperament, your God-given personality, with the pursuance of virtue. And 1803 of the Catechism defines virtue or virtuous living for us. It's pursuance of the good in concrete daily actions with our five sensory powers, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and the four spiritual powers, those are the faculties of the soul, namely intellect, will, imagination, and memory. And taking these nine great gifts, the five sensory powers, again, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and the four spiritual powers, the four faculties of the soul, intellect, the ability to be rational, rationality, okay? Will, the ability to choose, okay? Memory and imagination. Taking these nine gifts and coalescing them with our temperament and personality right where we are according to our state in life, vocation, and employment, and pursuing the good and the true in concrete daily actions, as number 1803 says in the Catechism. That's holiness. I love the fact that St. Thomas Aquinas teaches in one of his treatises on holiness, he says, number one, holiness is not a pose, P-O-S-E, hands folded, you know, head slightly tilted, you know, eyes looking upward to heaven. The classic, what Father Wade calls the classic saint's pose in the holy card of the saints.
Okay? Right.
Number two, you have to have good self-knowledge. If you don't have good self-knowledge, you cannot grow in holiness. What does St. Thomas say is good self-knowledge? It's knowing your virtues to advance them and knowing your vices to begin to uproot them, okay? Cowboy up, cowgirl up, admit your virtues to advance them Admit your vices to begin to uproot them out of your life. And number three, and I love this one, to grow in holiness, the third thing St. Thomas Aquinas teaches is that we need to have a daily balance. And he puts the adjective daily in there. A daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation. And this, regardless of one's state in life, whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, sister, active religious, contemplative religious, it doesn't matter. A daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation. Why? Because we are a body-soul composite. Meaning what? The body and the soul and the human person are so intimate, so intricate, we can literally say and mean it, that we don't have bodies, we are bodies. And we don't have souls, we are souls. That's how intimate the body-soul composite is in man. So, therefore, one is not meant to pray constantly because it will fatigue the soul. One is not meant to work constantly because it will fatigue the body. And one is not meant to recreate constantly, St. Thomas teaches, because then you run the risk of leading yourself into many vices, a very viceful life. He says, namely, the vices of slothfulness and buffoonery. The vice of buffoonery is when you see that everything's a joke about life. You take nothing serious about life. And there are some points in life that are meant to be taken seriously. For example, praying daily for the grace of a holy and happy provided for death. You know, do we pray daily, individually, for a holy and happy provided for death with the sacraments, to die with all confessed mortal sin, to die with the graces in the graces of the church, with the last sacraments? You know, do we pray for that? That's something serious to take about life. And there's other things as well. But we need to have good self-knowledge. We have to understand that holiness is not opposed. And we have to have a daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation.
Faithfulness to daily duty is our topic this hour. Our guest, Father Wade Menezes, a father of mercy, that is, a missionary preacher. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions about living that faithfulness to daily life, if you'd like to know how to be a saint, because essentially that's what we're talking about.
Amen. Amen. By the way, the Fathers of Mercy are always looking for a few good men.
Yes, that's right. So, let me just ask you this.
Okay, guys, check us out. Come and see weekend.
As a Father of Mercy, you're going out, you're speaking, you're preaching the good news.
Yes.
And this is exactly what your mission is yes. to help people to find their way to be a saint in their particular station.
That's exactly right. We preach the gospel truths from a very strong catechetical angle. Much of our preaching springboards right from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We go into a parish for 4 or 5 nights. We cater to the pastor's need, what he wants, and we'll give a parish mission on a topic that he maybe suggests or one that we suggest to him, depending on the liturgical season it is and whatnot. We also do weekend conferences that might run from a Friday through Sunday. We might do a day-long conference, whether in a hotel or in a retreat center. Father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, confirmation retreats, etc. Next week I'll be conducting a men's retreat, a day-long men's retreat in Wadsworth, Ohio, at Sacred Heart Parish there. So there's a lot of variety, a lot of travel, and it's great. It's a great life. It's a beautiful vocation for those who are truly called to it.
And if you are interested in it, just go to fathersofmercy.com. What about the person, Father, who says to you, come on, I just want to live a happy life. I don't need all of this, holiness stuff. How do you respond to that? I just want to live. You know?
We're called to the beatific vision. Heaven for all eternity, a divine and eternal relationship with God. And it is meant to have a foretaste here even now amidst a life of suffering in a world that has fallen through the original sin, which has ushered in personal sin. And what is personal sin but any mortal or venial sin one might commit? We're called to rise above any lethargic notions or any stagnation and truly become the evangelizers that we're called to be right where we are. You know, Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman, the great Anglican convert, he says, God has created me for a purpose. He's given me a sphere of influence in which to influence. So the homeschooling mother of six, her sphere of influence is going to be different from my sphere of influence as an itinerant preacher, which is going to be different from your sphere of influence, Cy, not only as a husband and father with your own wife and children at home, but with the large audience you reach on radio. So we each have a sphere of influence. The retired grandparent has her or his sphere of influence. So we're called to rise above any stagnation and any anything that might hold us back from this great call of becoming holy right where you are. And again, holiness is not hands folded, head slightly tilted, looking up to heaven. Holiness is not a pose. Holiness is your God-given temperament. Thomas talks about four temperaments, the choleric, the phlegmatic, the melancholic, and the sanguine. By the way, Cy, most people in communications and journalism are very choleric in nature. Okay, we're go-getters, we're doers of tasks, we're conversationalists, we're extroverts. Don't get in our way because you'll get run over. Okay.
Which one involves a lot of buffoonery? Because I think when you mentioned
the sanguine.
Sanguine. Yeah, that might be
But we all have a predominant one, and we all have a secondary one. And then the experts say that if you have more than two, you need help. but I would say that's my secondary is probably sanguine, and yours is probably if you see yourself primarily as sanguine, secondary would be choleric. So the fact is it's the God-given temperament coupled with the personality, geared towards virtuous living, which is pursuance of the good in concrete daily actions with the five sensory powers. For example, cuss of the eyes when we go into town, huh? Let's man up, cuss of the eyes. So and also the four faculties of the soul, you know, intellect, will, imagination, and memory. Now, imagination is great as a gift of the soul, a faculty of the soul, because it helps us with such things as Lectio Divina. I'm reading the nativity passage, let's say, from one of the Gospels on the birth of Christ. I'm putting myself there in the damp, cold cave. I'm observing visually Jesus and Mary and the newborn infant in the manger. Imagination is there. It's working. Memory is a beautiful gift because it helps me remember those good, virtuous times that I've had in my past that helped spur me on to greater holiness. But memory is also great because it helps me remember the not so good that I've done in my past, okay? And it helps me want to shun sin and not go down that path again. So these are great gifts that we have. And again, whether one be single, married, or consecrated or religious, it doesn't matter, young or old, as the 7-year-old or the 77-year-old, this is faithfulness to daily duty.
And that is our topic this hour, faithfulness to daily duty, 888-318-7884. Father, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about another objection to this idea of faithfulness to daily duty. Today, people think goodness involves being part of the right movement or part of the right ideology or having the right ideas. I wonder if you would rebut that when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
It's October, and as we head to the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off its annual winter sale in its newly redesigned online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off the hundreds of great Catholic resources we have in our online store from now till the end of the year. To get those discounts, just go to shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, broadcasting from the National Catholic Radio Conference that EWTN hosts each year, absolutely fantastic get-together. Folks from all over who are involved in the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and all that it does. Our guest this hour is Father Wade Menezes, a Father of Mercy, and our topic, faithfulness to daily duty, or another way of saying that is becoming holy right where you are.
Exactly.
I guess. So I guess we have this thing now called social justice warriors, and I don't mean to make fun of them or anything like that, but it's part and parcel of an idea we have in the modern world that the way to be good or to spend your life nobly is to be part of the right movement or the right, whatever the kind of enthusiasm. I don't want to say enthusiasm. Maybe that sounds dismissive, but whatever the program of this decade is, get with the right program, and that makes you your life worth living. That's not a Catholic view.
Well, you know, such programs, if they're moral, okay, such movements, if they're moral, how do we know if they're moral? If they coalesce and there's nothing that serves as an obstacle in them to sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, the teaching office of the church, including her own social justice teachings, and safeguarded by the magisterial teachings of the church, this three-legged stool, scripture, tradition, and magisterium, if this movement, if this whatever, has no obstacle to the church's teachings, then they can help embellish one's life in becoming holy right where they are. The person should not put their lock, stock, and barrel just in those things.
Yeah.
Because, for example, then the mother with children at home finds herself becoming a monastic nun. She goes to Mass every day and stays after Mass every day and does a two-hour Thanksgiving, all because she doesn't want to go home to her husband and her children. You know, this is a great quote by Francis of Rome, a female saint. She says, housewives, leave your silly little devotions at the altar and go home and find God in your housework. Okay? Meaning what? You're called to be holy where you are. We could say the same thing about the doctor. We could say the same thing about the farmer. We could say the same thing about the lawyer. Okay? Anybody too entrapped in a movement that maybe is in line with their line of work, okay, it can embellish their holiness within that line of work, their personal sanctity, but it shouldn't just become just that. There's a great quote from St. Augustine I'd like to read here about the different states in life that he gives the imagery of flowers that I think is very beautiful. He says, I tell you again and again, my brothers and sisters, that in the Lord's garden, he's talking about salvation, the fact that we're called to be holy in this life to attain salvation in the next life. I tell you again and again, my brothers and sisters, that in the Lord's garden of salvation are not to be found only the roses of his martyrs. No. But in this garden of salvation are also found the lilies of virgins, the ivy of wedded couples, and the violets of widows and widowers. On no account, then, may any class of people ever despair, thinking that Almighty God has not called them to holiness. Christ suffered for all, did he not? And what the Scriptures say of him is true. He desires all people to be saved, to become holy in this life, and to arrive at a knowledge of the truth through his bride, the Church. He continues, St. Augustine, the former lust addict, right?
Yes.
He tells all in his confessions. He fathered a child out of wedlock at age 17. He lived with a woman for 23 years whom he never married, all the while leaving a string of discarded mistresses, both married and single, behind his life. And so after this conversion, now he's leaving us writings like this. He continues, he says, therefore, this command of salvation, holiness even now, is not a command only for virgins to obey and for new brides to ignore, nor is it a message of salvation meant only for widows but not for married women, nor is it a message of salvation meant only for monks but not for married men, nor is it a message of salvation meant only for the clergy but not for the laity. No, the entire church, the entire body of Christ, each individual member of that body with Christ at its head is called to holiness according to their distinct and varied function and state in life.
Father Wade Menezes is our guest, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. And I suppose the other objection is it realistic, Father, that we would each of us would be holy?
It's very realistic, and it's very, very possible. And it could become quite popular. If you realize what holiness is, it's admitting and knowing your virtues to advance them, whether they be a natural virtue you acquire, you have by nature, or whether it be an acquired virtue. For example, some of us are naturally patient, okay? Don't you hate those people, Si? Those people that are naturally patient. Anyway, some of us are naturally patient. Why is this person so naturally patient? I don't know why. I'm not their spiritual director, but maybe they're an only child, huh? No siblings. And both of their parents have natural dispositions to patience. So in their formation years, especially late childhood, early adolescence, in the formation years, this is the only example primarily they had placed before them, right? So they grew up to be naturally patient. That's a natural virtue. Well, Si, some of us aren't so naturally patient. We have to work on it as an acquired virtue. So
yes.
What is holiness? It's very possible. It's very realistic, as you ask, if you know what holiness means in the eyes of the church. It's pursuance of virtue, shunning vice, gearing your temperament and your personality towards pursuance of the good and the true. Holiness, again, is not a pose. You have to have good self-knowledge. And you need that daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation.
We have lots of calls. Shall we go to them?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go to Glenn in Portland, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Glenn, your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Glenn.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Glenn, we can.
Okay, I'm not even sure how to word this, but I grew up Baptist, then I became Pentecostal, and now I'm just really kind of growing in my appreciation and love of the Catholic Church.
Beautiful.
Mostly because my daughter has been involved with drug addiction really, really heavy for the last few years, and I've been desperate and just praying all the time. But I'm starting to wonder if I'm losing my mind a little bit about just, like, I want to go to the church all the time. I go and pray, go to the grotto over here in Portland as much as I can.
I'm familiar with that grotto. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. I go there somewhere at home from work. I go there almost every day. I guess my question would be, are you familiar with other Protestants like me that are just kind of growing in their love of our Catholic brothers, or am I just a weirdo?
No, not at all. In my missionary travels, Glenn, I've met many, many converts to Catholicism from the various Protestant faiths. My suggestion to you would be baby steps. There's grace in baby steps. You know, the great sanguine saint, very happy-go-lucky temperament, very sanguine in his temperament, practical jokester, St. Philip Neri, who founded the Oratorian Fathers, he says, one should not wish to become a saint overnight, but little by little, step by step. So, you know, I would recommend starting to go to Mass when you can. It may be daily Mass if your schedule permits it. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't permit it. But at least maybe the Sunday liturgy. Of course, you couldn't receive the Eucharist yet because you're not in full communion. Also, maybe make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. I know there's several adoration chapels there of the Eucharist in the Portland area. Also, make an appointment with a parish priest that you are familiar with, that you find yourself enjoying his homilies, you find yourself enjoying his approach with the people. Maybe make an appointment with him to ask some initial questions about the conversion process to the Catholic faith through RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. Also, the next time you're at a Catholic bookstore, I would recommend a very good, simple, condensed version of the lives of the saints. Why condensed? And what do I mean by that? I mean where each saint's life, Glenn, is maybe a page to a page and a half long, and that's it. Because you'll take one a day, or maybe one every other day, or maybe just one a week. And you'll go through that saint's life rather quickly, and you'll get to see how the saints had the crosses of their own time, just like you have the crosses in your own time. We forget that the saints lived in the modern world of their time, just as we live in the modern world of our time. And also pay attention, Glenn, when you read the lives of the saints, pay attention to those particular saints who had the same state in life as you. So you're a father, you state. I'm not sure if you're married or not, but you're a father. Pay particular attention to those saints who were fathers. For example, the father of Saint Therese, Louis Martin, a great, great husband and father saint, very holy man, and there's many, many more out there. Now, we benefit from reading the life of any saint, right? I can benefit from reading the life of a female saint who was a wife and mother as a priest. All I'm saying is pay particular attention to those saints who had the same state in life as you. Also, and this is very, very important, I would recommend a chapter of Scripture a day, and just maybe 5 to 10 minutes of meditation on that chapter. We're talking a total of 15 minutes here out of your day, just a total of 15 minutes. That's 5 minutes to read the chapter, 10 minutes to meditate. And couple that with a one or two saints' lives a week from a condensed version. Couple that with maybe making a visit or two each week to the Blessed Sacrament, where you can do your spiritual reading in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed or down at the grotto. But I really think you need to visit the Blessed Sacrament and Adoration Chapel. And then at least Sunday liturgy, the sacred liturgy. And then see where your heart leads you, Glenn, to maybe make an appointment with an area priest whose homilies you enjoy, whose own temperament and personality you find yourself attracted to, and make an appointment with him and tell him what's on your mind and heart.
Glenn, how does that strike you?
Oh, wonderful. You know, it's funny. A lot of the things you said I've been doing already, I actually didn't realize that I was in the chapels where people can go and just be in adoration, and I didn't realize what that was. It was the only part of the church that was open. So I was just sitting there quietly praying, and I felt like, wow, God, you are so near right here.
Yeah, Eucharistic. Eucharistic.
Later on, someone told me, I'm like, oh, okay, all right,
right.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, Eucharistic exposition.
I'll get a book about the saints. I think that would be helpful.
Great.
And I will. I will make an appointment with a pastor. I've gone to several churches. I'll try to find one, that, like you said, that I feel a connection with and then pursue from there.
Are you familiar with the Dominican parish of Holy Rosary there in Portland that's ran by the Dominicans, the West Coast Dominican Fathers? They wear a white habit?
Yes. In fact, I just, on the radio the other day, I heard some, yes, I am familiar with them and
yes.
Very interested in them as well.
Great. And you also have Mater Dei Radio there in your area.
He's listening on Mater Dei Radio.
Oh, okay. Great. Wonderful.
He's found
Excellent.
That. Okay. Glenn, thank you very, very much. I have to tell you, your call is very encouraging to us because it means a great deal when someone finds the Lord in the Catholic Church. Please call anytime. We will take a break now. Be right back with more Faithfulness to Daily Duty with Father Wade Menezes on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible, or did Protestants remove seven books from the Old Testament? In Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, author Gary Machuda takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information, discourse on crucial issues, and a topical index, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. We're coming to you from Alabama today because we're here for the National Catholic Radio Conference EWTN puts on each year. I want to remind you that every single thing at shop.catholic.com is on sale until the last day of the year. This is our annual winter sale. Everything's 20% off, all books, CDs, DVDs, MP3s, and all the other things that we have there at shop.catholic.com. 20% off between now and the end of the year. The last day of the year is, it's like the 29th, 30th, 31st, or something of December. Father, do you know? Or
I don't, but I just noticed when you said Alabama, though, you said it with kind of a southern accent.
Did I really?
I think it's coming on.
You know,
I think it's starting.
Well, I've been here a long time. Like 3 days, you start to pick up the accent.
Have you had barbecue yet? You need some of our barbecue.
That's what everyone keeps telling me. I need some of this Alabama barbecue. So, no, I haven't, but I had some pecan cookies, and they were awfully good. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about faithfulness to daily duty, how to be holy right exactly where you are today. 888-318-7884. Father, we have a caller, but it's not a caller. It's John from Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle, AM 10:50, and he happens to be standing 3 feet away from you.
That's right. He's in our live radio studio audience.
John, your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Great. Thanks very much. Father Wade, you talked earlier about St. Francis of Rome. Reminded me of something my mother always used to tell me when I was young, which was that, you know, that work could be prayer if it was done right. And you know, the example she gave is when I'm cleaning toilets and I'm cleaning the house, that's always prayer. And maybe just sort of expand on, you know, when work is prayer, when prayer is work, are they the same thing? Are they different? How should we think about those together?
Well, we don't want to look so much as prayer being work other than obligations that the church calls us to fulfill as Catholic Christians, okay? For example, a regular confession, Sunday obligation mass, obligation because we love God, not because we fear him. So, but we can definitely make work a prayer. Okay, but I've met people who have said, you know, until I get my rosary in, I can't start my day, you know, or don't bother me till I get my rosary in. Well, don't make rosary such a big work in your life, you know. Don't make prayer your work. Make work your prayer. So there needs to be a healthy balance there. But yes, right where you are, whatever those daily duties are, including the prayerful duties, okay, that we know that we're called to by virtue of our baptism, confirmation, regular Eucharist, regular penance, etc., a marriage retreat at least once a year, a priest retreat once a year if one is a priest, wanting to stay strong in our vocation. In those senses, yes, our prayerful things can be good works, okay, in a good traditional solid sense. But we don't want to laboriously make daily prayer seem like work is what I'm trying to point out here. But work can definitely become your prayer. Listen to St. John Chrysostom, your patronal namesake there, John, early bishop and doctor. He says, "It is possible to offer frequent and fervent prayer to the Blessed Trinity, even in the marketplace while shopping or while strolling alone along a country road for leisure." Aha, prayer, work, and recreation, huh? Strolling along a country road for leisure. "It is also possible to give praise to Almighty God, the Blessed Trinity, in your place of business while sitting and working at your desk, and while buying or selling, and yes, even while cooking." In other words, these are daily activities according to one's state in life that can be offered up as prayerful activities to God that are pleasing sacrifices to him. Why? Because we're doing what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, in the way it's supposed to be done. Kind of like Teresa's little way, you know, little flower, show us your power. Do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, when it's supposed to be done. Saint Teresa of Avila, again, the Carmelite mystic, says that God is found even amidst the pots and pans. Now, this is pretty incredible what I'm going to share here. Saint Faustina admits in her diary, in one of her written paragraphs, that out of all the convent duties she was assigned to, and she was assigned to many over her years in the convent, the one she least liked was boiling the potatoes on a daily basis. Why did the congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy boil so many darn potatoes, and this on a daily basis? Because of all the poor that came to the convent door, they would give the poor the boiled potato as a means of sustenance, of food sustenance. So much so did they do this that the area potato farmers, it was their way of tithing to the church overall by bringing potatoes to the nuns and giving them for free. That was the way the potato farmers tithed back then. And yet after Faustina dies, and she, now remember, she did not like boiling the potatoes. She's very clear about that in her diary. Yet after she dies, two sisters from her congregation testify before a Vatican commission for her beatification process that they witnessed her in ecstasy while doing what? Boiling the potatoes. Something that in her own human frailty, she admitted up front in her diary, she didn't like doing. Now, my friends, that's a pretty darn awesome God. Capital A, capital G, who loves us so much, who wants to be intimate with us so much, who wants to draw us intimately into his own divine life so much that he's willing to do that even during an activity that we admit in our own simple fallen human nature, resultant of the original sin, that we don't like doing. That's how great of a God he is. A few other quotes here. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen. He says, "We can take our daily tasks and make the supernatural best of them, whatever they are. The typist at her desk working on routine letters, the student with his schoolbook studying for the quiz next week, the sick in their isolation and pain, the teacher drilling her pupils for tomorrow's quiz, and the mother dressing her children early in the morning to catch the school bus on time. Every such task, every such duty can be ennobled and spiritualized if it is done in God's holy name." In other words, we do these daily tasks tasks as pleasing sacrifices to God. St. Francis de Sales, in his Introduction to the Devout Life, which was written for laity, he says in the introduction to the Introduction to the Devout Life, he says, to be perfect in our vocation is nothing else than to fulfill the duties which our state of life obliges us to perform, to accomplish these well, and only for the honor and glory of God. So make work your prayer. Make prayer your work in regards to those obligatory things that we do out of love, not out of fear, like taking part in the sacraments regularly, and be on your way to holiness right where you are. Great, great question, John.
How do you feel about that, John?
Wonderful, thank you. And I know my mother would have loved the answer too.
Can I ask you something? I wasn't clear on, did your mother say the key to holiness was her washing the toilets or you washing the toilets? I wasn't clear on that part.
Well, now that I'm older, I think she was trying to set a good example.
Oh, I see. I got
teaching
you.
Me about the value of work.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because I thought I might try that on my kids. It'll make you holy. Clean the toilets. Thank you, John.
You know, Cy, last hour when Gary Zemak was talking about conversation with the Lord on a regular basis to help overcome worry and anxiety, it coalesces beautifully with an example here I have from Teresa of Avila about her faithfulness to daily duty and her conversation. Remember, she's the great saint who defined prayer as simply conversation with God. Prayer is conversation with God. Listen to this. She says, "How is it, my God, that you have given me this very hectic, busy life of reforming convents of women when I have so little time to enjoy your own presence? Yet I know that you are constantly beside me, and yet I am usually so busy with these reformations that I ignore you completely. So I tell you now, and I tell you bluntly, if you want me to remain so busy reforming convents of women, fine. But please at least force me to think about and love you even in the midst of such hectic daily activity."
She was something, wasn't she?
You know, just she's laying it on the line with God, but with great trust, just fantastic trust. Yeah. You know, it's all right there, you know.
Again, 888-318-7884 is our number, our topic, faithfulness to daily duty, being holy right exactly where you are at this moment. We go now to Anonymous. Anonymous, your question for Father Wade.
Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The quote you made in the beginning of the program, that we are to believe that we are exactly where God wants us to be, I've always had difficulty with that because I think it should be prefaced with, if we are doing God's will, because I could be in a bank to rob it. Surely that's not where God would want me to be. But you always hear that. Believe that you are exactly where God wants you to be.
Sure.
Could you explain that further, please?
Sure. Well, this is all built on the presumption, remember, Anonymous, that you are pursuing the good and the true based on virtuous acts involving the five senses and the four faculties of the soul. So robbing a bank would not fulfill that definition, number one. St. Teresa of Avila, by the way, is the one who gave us that quote. She said, may you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. And trusting in God is simultaneous with wanting to do his most holy will in your personal life. I love the fact that the Chaplet of Divine Mercy ends with the three times, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. We want to do the Father's will, all things directed to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. That's another point that St. Thomas Aquinas makes when he talks about the daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation. All prayerful activity, all working activity, and all recreational activity is to be directed to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit as a Trinitarian act. We want to do God's will, again, pursuance of the good and the true, and robbing a bank, as the example that Anonymous used, which is actually a great example, would not be pursuance of the good and the true, wanting to take away from neighbor, wanting to deny others of what is rightfully theirs, you know.
So did you mean that in the sense of, okay, I'm trying to live, or just, I am doing these things, and I'm trying to live with the Lord where I am this moment. But what you're trying to encourage us to do is to accept our state of life where we are as God's will for us. Is that what, am I hearing you
yes,
correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right. And we can't forget either that the three things that Thomas told us, holiness is not a pose, about becoming holy daily right where you are, becoming faithfulness daily duty. Number one, holiness is not a pose, P-O-S-E. You need to have good self-knowledge and this daily balance of prayer, work, and recreation. The second one, good self-knowledge. Know your virtues to advance them. Know your vices to uproot them. We all know about the seven capital sins. Those are the vices. In fact, the Catechism tells us, quote, the vices are often linked to the seven capital sins. In other words, show me a vice or reveal to me a vice you suffer from, And somehow, some way, that vice that you suffer from, that you just revealed to me that you suffer from, is going to be tied to one of the seven capital sins or to multiple of the seven capital sins. We forget that each of the seven capital sins has an opposite extreme that can be just as damaging in the person's life as the capital sin is. So, for example, slothfulness is one of the seven capital sins, right? The opposite extreme of slothfulness is workaholism.
Yeah.
It's just as bad as slothfulness is. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do to overcome both extremes? Okay, the capital sins on the far left, the opposite extreme on the far right. You need to practice the median virtue in the middle to protect you from going to either extreme. What's that median virtue found halfway between slothfulness and workaholism? Diligence, the virtue of diligence, St. Thomas says. Again, do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, and the way it's supposed to be done. Lust. Lust is one of the seven capital sins. What's the opposite antithesis of lust that can be just as damaging in a person's life? Prudishness. Being a prude towards things sexual, seeing all things to do with human sexuality as evil. And that's just not the case. We are Catholic. We love human sexuality. It's a great gift. It's a great, beautiful gift. It's meant to be protected and coveted, in a good way coveted, protected and coveted and practiced only within its proper confines of, namely, one man, one woman in a covenant union for life. Okay? So what's the median virtue to protect ourselves from lust at one extreme, one of the seven capital sins, or prudishness at the other extreme? We need to practice chastity. All are called to chastity. Whether single, married, or a consecrated religious, all are called to chastity. Even a husband and wife are called to chastity with one another. There are some things that are not permitted in marriage. Rape is not permitted in marriage. Contraception is not permitted in marriage. So we're all called to chastity, whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, or sister. So to know whether or not we're pursuing the good and the true and concrete daily actions with the five sensory powers and the four faculties of the soul, we want to say, okay, do I suffer from a vice? Or maybe I suffer from an opposite extreme vice, okay? Now, taking Anonymous's question, let's apply it not to robbing a bank, but to what is seemingly a bad marriage. How do I know that God wants me in this marriage? If Teresa of Avila says, may you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be, but yet I don't feel called that I'm meant to be in this marriage, my advice to you, if you came to see me for some spiritual direction or in confession, I would say, well, wait a minute here. First of all, are you prideful? That's one of the seven capital sins. What's the opposite extreme? Self-loathing is the opposite, right? Maybe it's interesting when the opposites marry, Sai. Okay, the opposites marry. Maybe you have a very prideful husband and a self-loathing wife, and this constant friction because of that truth. Or maybe you have the prideful wife and the self-loathing husband, and there's constant friction because of that. What do both need to practice to stay away from those extremes? Humility. Mm-hmm. The prideful husband or wife needs to practice humility. The self-loathing husband or wife needs to practice humility. We got to get away from those extremes and come to the median virtue, you know.
Anonymous, thank you so much for that call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Father Wade Menezes on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's October, and that means Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off of hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 16, Jesus told the story of a steward who was about to be fired for having squandered his employer's money. So he decided to make friends with his employer's clients by reducing their debts to him. While the employer disdained the loss of income, he recognized the steward's ingenuity. Our Lord then acknowledged how much more ingenious the world can be than the faithful, who have so much more reason to excel. What a tragedy that so much God-given talent has been used against him rather than for him. All the more reason for us to work for his glory. No false modesty for us. Our talents are a part of that love story that began when he created each of us in the womb. He has a plan for us, even if it means a lifetime of creative suffering in bed or from a wheelchair. What we give joyfully, because it is for Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us, joining us, as we've said, from Alabama today, where we're enjoying the company of all the folks who have come here for the EWTN National Catholic Radio Conference, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I just love saying that. I sound so fancy and professional whenever I say it. I got to work on my radio voice for that.
EWTN Global Catholic.
Well, okay. Enough of me having fun. Father Wade Menezes. Oh, wait. Buffoonery is one of the... That's
buffoonery.
Is actually a vice. And
it could become a vice.
It's bothering me that buffoonery is among the vices because I feel like that's the one thing I'm good at in the world. And you just...
Buffoonery is a virtue for you, Seth.
Okay. Thanks, Father. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about being holy right where you are, faithfulness to daily duty. We are joined now by Karina, who is here at the convention from KSGS Good News Catholic Radio 99.9 in Texas.
Rio Grande City.
Say it again?
Rio Grande City, Texas.
Oh, Rio Grande City, Texas. Karina, your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Other than praying, what do you suggest if you have an adult child that has been raised through, they have all the sacraments in Catholic school all the way till eighth grade? What do you suggest if they've left the church and you want them to be saints or at least come back to the church?
You know, Karina, this is the number one plight that I hear in my itinerant missionary travels, especially at parish missions when I'm at the mission for a full week and I'm preaching the 4 or 5 night mission, and I'm not exaggerating. It's the number one plight of the over 40-year-olds who have teens, 20s, or 30 or 40 year olds who no longer practice the faith, and what can they do? We need to look to St. Thomas Aquinas' teachings on giving fraternal correction. He defines fraternal correction as an attempt. Notice he calls it an attempt, not a successful endeavor. Fraternal correction is an attempt to bring back a loved one back around to the fullness of truth, a loved one who has strayed from that truth. So in your particular application, Karina, it's the situation of a parent wanting to bring their adult child back to the faith. You're attempting to give fraternal correction to this child who's now wayward from the faith, in other words, okay? Thomas teaches we need to do it privately, charitably, and rarely. That is, attempt to bring them back. We do it privately so as not to embarrass them in front of other people. So if it was the Thanksgiving dinner table with 30 people, you wouldn't turn to your 30-year-old son, John, and say, "Why aren't you coming back to Mass?" You know, no, you need to do it privately. Talk to him privately so as not to embarrass him in front of other people. Number two, you need to do it charitably. Why? Because charity is the queen of the virtues. Okay, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Okay, and you need to do it rarely. Why? Because your son John's an adult. I'm using John hypothetically, by the way. You might have a son named John, I don't know. But you do it rarely. Why? Because he's an adult. He has to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And hopefully it will be with filial fear and not servile fear. And my new book on the four last things discusses that. So privately, charitably, and rarely, we have a duty to plant a seed to bring that loved one back to the faith. But you cannot let it control your life. They are their own adults. For example, and I pass out the Fathers of Mercy examination of conscience brochure at the parish missions when I'm there for the week. It serves as a great catechetical tool. One complete side of the trifold brochure are the major tenets of Catholic Christian doctrine. The other complete side is the examination of conscience. You fold it up and it's trifold. It's like having a little catechism right there in the palm of your hand. So I use that as an example. I'll tell the parents, send one to your child, John, who's now 32, no longer practices faith, with a little 3-inch by 3-inch yellow post-it note. You know, the sticky post-it note? Dear John, we went to a parish mission last week. Enclosed is the main brochure from the mission that greatly helped us. It greatly moved us. So much so that we felt called to share it with others. In the plural, others. Two things are happening here. Number one, you're putting the onus on yourself. You're letting John know on this little yellow post-it note, here's the main brochure from the mission that we went to last week. that we greatly benefited from, meaning you and your husband, okay? That we so much so we felt called to share it with others. So John knows he's not the only one getting it. He knows that you're sending it to others. If he thought he was the only one getting it, why are mom and dad sending this to me? Who do they think the artist? No, John. They're making it very clear. They're sending it to others. So he's not threatened by it, okay? Plus, you've told him that you yourself have benefited from this examination of conscience, Catholic doctrine brochure. And then at the bottom, you just, again, this is just a little 3-inch by 3-inch post-it note. John, we went to a parish mission last week. Encloses is the main brochure from the mission that greatly helped us. It greatly moved us so much so we felt called to share it with others. May it also help you. Love mom and dad. And that's it. Drop it in the mail. Privately, charitably, and rarely, because he's an adult. Will he read this brochure? You better believe he will. Will it get him back to confession? I don't know. That part's between him and God. But you can bet he'll read it, especially the examination of conscience side. Did I do this? Did I do that? Did I do this? That comes through the Ten Commandments. Last thing, Karina, this is extremely important, okay? You find your peace in that you give people the truth. You do not find your peace in whether or not they respond to the truth. That second part is between them and God. But your baptism, your confirmation, sustained by regular Eucharist and penance, calls you to be an evangelizer, not a savior. You are not your grown kid's savior. You are their evangelizer, even before you are their parent. You were their evangelizer when you submitted them for baptism as infants. You were their evangelizer, in one sense, more than you were even their parent. Okay? Remember our Lord to the woman who hollers out to him in the crowd, "Blessed are the breasts that fed you and the womb that bore you." What's Jesus' response? "Nay, rather." Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, Mary did just that. Jesus elevated his mother's discipleship and evangelizationhood above her maternity of him. He elevated that above the maternity. So again, Karina, you find your peace in that you give people the truth, privately, charitably, and rarely. You do not find your peace in whether or not they respond to the truth you gave them. You can pray that they will respond to it. You hope they will respond to it, but you don't root your peace in that. Because if they don't come back, what happens? You're going to lose your peace. You're called to be an evangelizer, not a savior.
Karina, thank you very, very much.
Great question. Thank you so much. And again, Karina, it's the number one plight, number one question I hear on the missions.
Oh, wherever I've been in Catholic radio or Catholic media, wherever we ask for, is there something we can pray for you? By far and away, my children are not practicing the faith. Can you pray for my children?
Amen. That we hear that so much.
And Father Wade Menezes is our guest. We're talking about being holy right where you are, being faithful to daily duty. Father, the website again. For the Fathers of Mercy.
Fathersofmercy.com. Oh, all lowercase, all pushed together as one word. Fathers with an S, fathersofmercy.com.
Yeah, because one of the things I get when I'm speaking with you, Father, is a sense of the orderliness of the faith. That it's not as if we're making this stuff up. It's thousands of years of people thinking through the gospel, and people like Thomas Aquinas, and you obviously have a great affinity for the saints. You listed, how many saints did you go to today?
I do. I don't know.
They talked more than you did, those saints.
But I do love the saints, and I do love the wisdom of the church. And St. Paul says, share the wisdom, don't keep it for yourself. And this is time-honored, true teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith.
And so, Father, if you will kind of sum up for us again this idea of faithfulness to daily duty, now that we've discussed it with people for an hour.
You know, again, Catherine of Siena, if you are what you should be, you will set the world ablaze. Just sharing God's word, living in that state of sanctifying grace, giving his truth and his love to others. If you are what you should be, you will set the world ablaze. And St. Jose Maria Escriba, the founder of Opus Dei, which he founded for laity, he says, God wants to make you a saint right there where you are. Huh? So again, whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, sister, doctor, farmer, lawyer, etc. There's a great quote here that sums up what I mean. It's from Mother Angelica. She says, saints are ordinary people who love Jesus and try to be like him and are faithful to the duties of their state in life.
Beautiful, Father. Thank you. May we have your blessing before we go.
Certainly, Si. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Father Wade Menezes, you can find information about Father and the Fathers of Mercy at fathersofmercy.com. Again, a very warm thank you to everyone who has joined us here in the room and everybody at EWTN who has shown us such great hospitality. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.
Sigh, let's go get some barbecue.